Let's turn to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, as we continue our study. The Lord's Sermon on the Mount. Last week we considered verse 5 or verse 6. And who speaks about those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. And we learned that these are those who stand in the need of Christ's righteousness. And from these springs, the sincere desire in their heart to live righteous life. Righteous lives. Life, which is a course of life which is regulated by God's law. So, we cannot desire to live righteously, sincerely, if we have not been imputed. Christ has not imputed righteousness to us, because all are unrighteous. Now, there's none righteous. Only God is righteous. And because of the fall, because of sin, man is not righteous in himself. And if ever anyone desires to live righteously, and that which is in accordance and with God's, God approves, it is such that such a person has received Christ's righteousness. And from which he's able to live to please God. Because if I live a righteous life that doesn't please God in my own imagination, that's not righteousness. A righteous life is a life that pleases God. It's only life that is lived by faith. And you know, it doesn't come to us except we are given that grace, Christ in our heart. So we continue this evening and we consider verse 7. So this will be part 5 of the studies on the Sermon on the Mount. And so I read to you verse 7. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the merciful. So here we have the blessings and the happiness of those who are merciful. And the merciful are those who sympathize with sufferers and also do what they can for their relief. And they sympathize, the merciful sympathizes with sufferers. And also do what they can for their relief. So such are merciful. And they don't just show concern for sufferers, but are ever ready and cheerful to relieve them. So I'm sure we know sometimes people express their concern for others in need, in trouble, in poverty, but they have no clue. They are not even ready to help. They just feel the trouble of the people who are suffering. But they have, even if they have the means, they do not even seek the means, the way, and they make arrangements to help them. Such are not those who are merciful. So merciful is not to be merciful. It's not merely showing consent. That's one part. But naturally, from that consent, then the actions of relief will come in. But you know, in our world, sometimes people will show and speak about the troubles of others. And we can even find some churches doing that, talking about the troubles of others, and yet have no concern to relieve them. So the merciful sympathizes and also distributes the material need of the poor and the needy. The material needs. Of the poor and the needy. That's one part. They distribute them, they share with those who are needy materially, the poor, to relieve them. But they also show mercy to the souls of men. They also show mercy to the souls of men by instructing unbelievers about the way of salvation. So, here too, another aspect of those who are merciful. So it goes on beyond merely showing or providing the relief for what the people's bodily needs. Truly merciful people are those who also sympathizes with men lost in sin, who see their needs to bring the gospel to them and to help them to come to understanding by the way of salvation, and also continue to hope that the Lord to convert them by praying for them continuously, waiting patiently for the time the Lord will convert us. So The merciful do not only give bodily needs or relieve people of their bodily needs, but of physical needs. They are those who are truly concerned for the soul's sake. Because that is the misery on the human soul, on sinners, is the greatest. For physical needs, they are temporal, but the greatest need of the human soul is salvation. And if ever we show concern and a relief for any, it's those who seek to bring to people's understanding the way of salvation. And so when we talk of the merciful truly, then it's those who relieve the poor materially, and also those who relieve the misery of lost sinners by bringing them the gospel. And you know, this is what the Lord Jesus Christ did when he came on earth. It is true that he came to preach the gospel. We find that wherever he goes, and there's much of that need. You see, many of them, you read some of them. You heal many diseases. You do good. You do all sorts of things to relieve men. See, but that wasn't his main purpose. But he is a merciful Savior, not only for bodies of men, but he's the God of all mercies. So to be truly merciful, then you must be both. The one who desires to relieve the sufferings, the body, physical need of others, and also the spiritual need of others. So you see, how the unbelievers of the worldly, who are without the love of God, they cannot truly be merciful, yet they can only show mercy to the bodily needs of people. And that is all. They cannot help the needs of the soul of man, which is the greatest of all. Let's see this in the life of this Savior. His concern for the spiritual need, and I also read to you his concern for the physical need of others. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 35 to 38, that's how we are told of him. Matthew 9, 35 to 38. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. And you see here, preaching the gospel, and you know it's for the souls of men, and also doing the physical help to those who were ill. But look at the expression given of his compassion. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then said he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is precious, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send for laborers into his harvest. So you see that the Lord had compassion. These people were not people who were physically well, they may be poor physically, but he had compassion on them, fainted for what? Spiritual guidance. They had no Savior. They had no one to teach them the word of God. And so the harvest is talking about here, the harvest of souls for the kingdom of Christ, for his own kingdom. The harvest of souls in the church. And so that we should pray for the Lord to, of the harvest, that he will send laborers into his harvest. And it tells us the greatest works of mercy has to do with the compassion for souls. Say that when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion on them. He saw them as people without a Savior, without spiritual guide, without anyone to direct them about the way of God. And then he was moved with compassion toward them. And also, for the physical need of people, he will show the same compassion. In Matthew 14, 13 to 21, and when Jesus heard of it, that is the death of John the Baptist, he departed thence by ship into a desert place apart. And when the people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the cities. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude, and was moved with compassion toward them, and healed the sick. And here, this compassion will combine both their souls and also their bodies, almost the same as the first we saw. And look at what it did when the people have stayed with him for some time. And when it was evening, his disciples came to him saying, "This is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals." But Jesus said unto them, "They need not depart, give you them to eat." And they say unto him, "We have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He said, "Bring them hither to me." And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass, and took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes. And looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke and gave the loaves to the disciples, and the disciples to the multitude. And they were told that they ate to about 5,000 who ate. This was having that compassion, not only to the souls of men, but to those who were in need at the time, to provide this food for their bodies. These miracles were real, provided for their bodily needs. And yet, this same people came, and he preached to them, he taught them the way of salvation, and he taught them, he relieved them of their souls. So, we look at the works of mercy. Mercy, to be merciful, it's not merely, as I said, just showing concern, sympathy for the physical sufferers to relieve them. That's one part. But to be truly merciful has to do with both. The one who shows the physical and also the spiritual. And sometimes Christians, as I think of, well, we think of the spiritual, and that's unknown. If we have the means, if we have the ability, we should never forget the physical. It's combined. Yes, we know that the spiritual, that will do them eternal good. But the Lord Jesus Christ showed by example that while he helps people with their soul salvation, he also did good. We also find Apostle Paul, imitating the Lord the same. In Acts chapter 17, read of Apostle Paul in Athens, let's look about how he was said to help these idol worshippers. Acts 17, verse 16 to 18. Now Paul waited for them at Silas and Silas and Timothy, waited for them at Athens. His spirit was set in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. Therefore disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews and with the devout persons in the marketplace daily with them that met with him. Okay. Then certain philosophers of the Epicureans and of the Stoics encountered him, and some said, "What will this babbler say?" Others, he seemed to be a certain point of strangers, because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection. He saw the city being given to idolatry, and he was dead. That's compassion. He had mercy to bring the gospel to them. He was moved to bring to their souls the need, the message of the gospel, which would be able to save them from idolatry. Again, if you look at the history of the church, all the missionary and the rest has been moved by this. We want to tell the gospel to those areas of the world who have never heard the gospel. We want them also to hear it, so that they also may be saved. You see? And Apostle Paul expressed in Romans chapter 10 how he wished his own countrymen were saved. And this passion is in the heart of believers. You see, to desire that the gospel will come to those who are ignorant and those who are unbelievers. So, this is an act of to be merciful. And when we ask it, this is put in our heart. We have a desire that unbelievers will come to the Lord. But as I said, the desire for the spiritual good of others is always combined with the desire to help also those who are physically in need. Remember in Acts chapter 7, Apostle Paul speaks of his desire to do alms, to provide alms to his country, charity. Acts chapter 24, verse 17, when he was falsely accused and arrested by the Jews. Acts chapter 24, verse 17 and 22. Apostle Paul was not just only preaching. He was somebody, he was a man who also loved charity, alms, and having shown mercy to the body needs of people. Acts 24, verse 17. Either I said it was just a short one, I'm taking it out of the home. Now, after many years, I came to bring alms to my nation and offerings. You know, I was going to the churches to take offerings to support those suffering saints in Jerusalem, and he has come to deliver it. So you see, he went to bring the gospel, but then when he saw that he had opportunity to, when there was suffering, he took the opportunity to ask for help to be delivered, to not for even himself, but for those who are in need in Jerusalem. So he shows his heart, so that the same Paul who was sent to preach the gospel to the Athenians, idol and other worshippers, was the same person who was sent to, when he had the opportunity, to gather support for those who are physically in need in Jerusalem. So we find this, I'm using him alone, in connecting with Christ, our dear Savior, to see how, we preach the gospel, and we want the people to come to the knowledge of the truth, to be relieved from their souls, and relieved from sin, and to be saved. Yet, we must never forget that for the work, the mission, the church, the work of the church, we are also mandated to take on the physical need for those, and for Christians, yes, to those who are in need. If we see those who are in need, we should never close our eyes to them. It is part of those who are truly merciful. So we see that this is something that is central, so that to be merciful has to do with sympathizing and distributing to the material need of the poor, and as well showing mercy to the souls of men. So you must never forget that. And another aspect is that the merciful easily forgive their offenders who are truly their fault and pray for mercy. Aspect of mercy, those who are merciful, they are never revengeful. They are always seeking means to forgive and to be some those who are so willing to let go of the offense others have done against them. They don't hold people's offense against them. It is part of the nature of those who are merciful. I'll speak more a bit about that and in connection to how God Himself have said to deal with us when we show mercy to others, as to be with the second part. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. So, for they shall obtain mercy from whom? From the Lord. And you know, the Lord is the Father of mercies and God of all comforts. You see, if ever we have received mercy from others and kindness and madness, it isn't by chance. He has given opportunity so that we enjoy such mercies from the hand of others. And in this, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy, we think of God's general government of the world. The Bible teaches that generally, in God's government of this world, He deals with us by how we deal with others. You see? God is providence. God's dealings in providence. He deals with us, not merely only his people, believers, but generally in the whole world, from generation to generation. He deals with us as we deal with others. See, it's a general thing that God does. I read to you Psalm 41, verse 1 to 3. Psalm 41, verse 1 to 3. So that we must be, if we are those who desire that people should pity us, we should be those who are ever pitying people and try and ever desire to do good to others. Psalm 41, verse 1 to 3. Blessed is he that considereth the poor, the Lord will deliver him in time of trouble. The Lord will preserve him and keep him alive, and he shall be blessed upon the earth. And thou wilt not deliver him unto the will of his enemies. The Lord will strengthen him upon the bed of languishing. Thou wilt make all his bed in his sickness. And here, if those such people are believers, they will find both the spiritual and good for their souls. But this is a general truth that the Lord, those who consider the poor here, has to do with those who have been sick and so dangling in the body, who are not fit. Are so weak, And this has brought to my mind how nowadays, not all, but some of the hospitals and some of the actions of the health workers, they don't care about even those who are sick. They even take it upon them to even extort money from doctors, nurses, some are doing that, from as a means to even get more money from those who are there. I'm sure those of us here who have years ago, we can remember this work were done by those who purely want to do good to people. You go to a doctor, he just look at you, knows that there wasn't so much of love and all that, and he just wants to help you. You see? But nowadays, I'm sure we can justify difficult to find doctors. There are some like that, but it's difficult to find. But here, the poor here has to do with people who are probably sick and weak in body, who require care. And he said that, blessed is he that considers such. The Lord will deliver him in time of trouble. Remember the parable of the Good Samaritan. You see? The good Samaritan who did good to the sufferer. He showed mercy to him, to such who was ill-treated and sick. So, it gives us this picture that if we are those, and it's not just the word consider, it's not that the poor has come to us. We are ever watching out to do good, you see. It doesn't picture how God is. God, the whole world and all that the world is doing, God just look upon us and send us relief, you see. If we should look upon us in our sinfulness, and this general, the world should seek to survive and continue. And then he is so kind, he rains on the good and the bad. You see, he's ever looking out to send us relief and good. And here, brethren, it is that consider the poor. He look out for the such who are such to do them good. You see, it is here sometimes people may come to us, and then they look out. And we may not be able to do good everyone, but you know the parable of the Good Samaritan, who is my neighbor? Those who are close to us. So that those who are close to us and who are in need of help and who we may assist their suffering, but it will not be money, monetary term, it could be just being advice, it could be just some kind of comforting words, whatever it is. Those who are merciful are looking out for such to grant such relief to them as their needs require. So he says that they shall obtain mercy, that is, they who do this, when they also must need mercy, they will be shown mercy. This is a general thing for the world. This is not merely about being Christians or that's how God governs this world. You see, those who will care for others, they will be cared for when they are also in trouble. Let me add also Psalm 18:25-27. Psalm 18:25-27. Look at this. This is a general truth about God dealing with the Buddhas. With the merciful, thou wilt show thyself merciful. Talking about God and his governance of the world in us. With an upright man, thou wilt show thyself upright. With the pure, thou wilt show thyself pure. And with the froward, thou wilt show thyself froward. For thou wilt save the afflicted people. I will bring down high roots, you see. That's why we are told sometimes the Lord brings one up and he brings one down. He sets one up and this happens to nations as well as individuals, you see. When we look at the history of the world, one nation rises before, but when we read the history in the Bible, we see how nations become so proud that they even do things against God. And God brings by prophecy will bring their doom through in the prophet Isaiah, speaking about the Chaldeans and many of these kingdoms that were so barbaric against others. He said their time they will also be dealt the same way. And then it comes to individuals as well. You see, sometimes people how they dealt with people, then the prophecy will come that they will also be treated the same way. It happens. You see, so. As the psalmist is saying here, it is true. With the merciful, David is saying, merciful, thou wilt show thyself merciful. See that, for blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. That's for the same thing. With the merciful, those who are ever designed to show mercy, the Lord will show mercy. And here is just general mercies. Those whose hearts are so ready cheerfully willing to support and help others in need. The Lord will grant also the relief. And again, tells us of the various categories of people. Albert Barnes gave a commentary that a small portion is very attaching when he says this, that God deals with men according to their character, or that he will adapt his providential dealings to the conduct of men. It's a general thing, you see. You see how the world goes on? Yes, God deals with us according to our character. In this state, in the temporal things of this life, see how probably some are arrested to be taken to the prison and all that. Probably they were convicted of what they did. They had to deal with them the same way. Probably others were in trouble, they were believed also. You see, sometimes things happen, we don't understand why maybe people may be suffering, and only God knows why. You see, He knows why He has allowed people to suffer. So, but we have been told to the merciful, that with the merciful that we show thyself merciful. And again, even in the history, in the scripture, Old Testament, we have seen many instances, the wicked kings, how they dealt with them, and those who were also good and kind and who ruled well, how God dealt with them, and their end, you see. So, in the same way, it also speaks to us in our individual lives. And you see, we live in a world of selfishness. The world is going much into selfishness, especially those of us living in the city. When I grew up in the village, and generally, people just care for others, you see. But in the city, it's difficult to find. But that shouldn't be so. If we are Christians and God's people, no, that shouldn't be so. You see, but it seems the city life seems to be like me, myself, and my. And that's it. It's like everybody is fighting for survival, no. Even in the midst of this, if we are those who are ever merciful, showing kindness, and it's something that honors the Lord, as if we are believers, you see, because we are living in that principle that with the merciful, that will show ourselves merciful, you see. So it doesn't matter how people have become around us, we ought to be such to live our lives as those whom the Lord has changed our hearts. Again, we have this this general principle in God's government of this world. The Lord Jesus Christ captured this in the parable in Matthew chapter 18, verse 21 to 35. I'll just tell you, I'll paraphrase it for you. This servant owed his master 10,000, and he went to play it, and his master forgave him. And then when he turned around, his colleague owed him just 100. According to the account, he held his neck, asking him to pay everybody, and threw him to prison. And others went to tell his master. The master said, you that you forgive me, you owe me, I forgave you and everything, this is what you have done. Okay, then I'm going to also take every weight from you. And then the Lord Jesus Christ, and by applying that, verse 35, he said that, so likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your heart forgive not everyone his brother and his trespasses. You see, here, before this, Apostle Peter asked how many times we should forgive others, and then the Lord gave this parable. You see, so it is telling us that generally that's how God deals with people. So he gave this parable, you owe so much, you see, and again it tells us how we all owe the Lord, so that when others do things against us, we should be so merciful to them. Because if the Lord should hold us up, none is able to pay an account for stand for what the Lord will demand from us. So, in this view, how should the unkind, the impatient, the malicious, stingy, slanderer, unforgiving expect from God? If I am in this character, what do I expect from God? See? Then I know that God will not show me mercy. You see, in times of my difficulties, when I fall into the hand of those who also do against me, then I should be somebody who will not be expecting the Lord to help me. This is general principle, you see, because he has said that if we do not do for them, if ye from your heart forgive not everyone his neighbor. And well, this has to do with every
good thing we ought to do to our neighbor. If we do not do from our heart, how much and what do we expect from him who rules the world, who governs the world with justice, and who show mercy to those who are in need? You see, this is the lesson to us. So the generous, kind, and the forgiving will not be forgotten by the Lord in times of adversity. The Lord will help them, and the Lord will grant them interventions. And that's again, this is the history of the world, and how God does. It does not merely about being Christians or not Christians. It has to do with how people are recompensed in this life. You see, the Lord is the one who recompenses us. He rewards us according to our works, even in this life. What we do is what we receive. So none of us receive more than what we do. We even receive less. But then, in connection with our subject, to be merciful, if we are those who are not showing pity, sympathy, and relieving others, the Lord will also relieve us in times of our difficulty. However, when we think of this, I mean, aspect of the general government of this world, but there's aspect of mercy, and then God's pardoning mercy, and this mercy which reconciles sinners to Him, and this mercy we don't obtain it by our works; it is only through Jesus Christ. So we should always distinguish between this, that the blessed and the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. It's a mercy which we obtain from God, forgiveness of sin, and this mercy is only through Christ. This mercy, not merited, it's all by God's grace, you see, that He showed to needy sinners. He gives us our sins to bring us to the state of His children. This one is not the same He showed to the world by His government of the world, and this mercy is what 1 Timothy 1, 2, as Paul speaks about 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12 to 15. Pardoning mercy is something God really gives to sinners who may deserve His justice. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12 to 15. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me, for that He counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly and humbly. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of our acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. So this is saving grace, mercy, because I was wanting that. Because he himself was a blasphemer, persecutor, hurting people, being injustice, not merciful to others, but he obtained mercy. So this mercy of salvation is not like God's general mercy, where He deals with us according to our character. This is for this world. But this mercy, which brings sinners to reconcile to God, is entirely through Christ, when we come to trust in Him, repent of our sins, and this is given to sinners, you see. Is given to those who deserve not mercy. So we should always think of that. That better than the mercy, for they shall obtain mercy. Nobody can obtain mercy by his own works. You obtain mercy only through Christ, and what He has done on the cross of Calvary. The same Peter also speaks of the same mercy in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 to 10. 1 Peter chapter 2. Verse 9 to 10. Speaking to these people, the believers, who wrote the epistle to, says that, which in time past were not a people, but now the people of God, which has not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. See, this is the pardoning mercy, the mercy which is given to us through Christ, where God forgives sinners and reconciles them to Himself. See, which have not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. So, better the mercy for this obtained mercy. This mercy is not obtained by our works. Before they didn't have, but through Christ they come to receive. So, it is by God's mercy in Christ again that believers come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. It is this forgiving mercy, this mercy which God shows on sinners to bring them to reconciliation to Himself. It is by this that we come boldly to the throne of grace. So that when we are coming to God, it is by this mercy, through Christ, that we are able to come, so that we obtain mercy again, more mercy, grace to relieve us and find grace to help in time of need for our spiritual life, for our life here on earth. Believers have this free mercy to come before God because of Christ. If God doesn't accept us because of our persons, He accepts us in Him. This is the mercy which we obtain through Him. So this mercy is not obtained again by what people do. It's obtained through Christ by faith. Well, mercy is an attribute of God for which needy sinners delight in, especially those who call it mercy. And again, the general mercies, the whole world, none of us is not in need of mercy, even temporal mercies, because we live in a world cursed, and we ourselves are sinners, so we delight in mercy, God's mercy, be it the general one or the specific one which brings us salvation. And so mercy also is a very beautiful character of God's children. Not only do we receive this pardon mercy, but it's the character of God's children. So when we have received this mercy, it makes us always forgiving and desiring always to relieve the need of others. See, that's why when I started again, it is those who have attested this special mercy who can really be merciful. Because until sinners have come to test me, they will only think of doing maybe good to the body of men. But when we have come to taste this mercy, we realize and know others need that spiritual aspect where we bring them the gospel and also help that we wake and pray that the Lord will bring salvation to needy sinners. This is the greatest of all. And as we do this, we also imitate our dear Savior by doing the works of mercy. So works of mercy is one of the marks of true Christians and churches. You see, works of mercy is one of the marks of true Christians. And as they mourn with those that mourn, suffer with them that suffer, support those in adversity, and comfort those that are cast down, both physically and spiritually. Because it is only the church, the true church of Christ, that can really comfort those who are troubled in their spiritual life, who are troubled about spiritual things, those without, who are not true churches cannot. You see how churches, many place called churches these days are rather so wicked to the souls of men. Many preachers are wicked. Instead of them to show mercy to the souls of men, they rather mail them their money and tell them lies. Wickedness, you see. As Apostle Paul imitated our dear Savior, every preacher or servant of God should be so. Look at what he did in Athens when he saw the idolatry. And then these so-called pastors themselves have not tasted of this mercy. They see so many, they gather so much crowd, and they lie to them. You see? And rather sell their souls to Satan and try to cast them away from Christ. So that is wickedness, you see. The works of mercy with the church does, main one is for the souls of men. But these churches don't care about the souls of lost men. They care about how much they will get from these lost people, you see. Look at the life of Apostle Paul. He preached the gospel to the needy poor sinners, also relieved those who are materially poor, who were lost people. So works of mercy are duties for every true Christian, both the material and also the spiritual. And it's our duty. You see, let me read two verses about the material part. In Romans chapter 12, verse 13, this Apostle Paul was distributing to the necessity of the saints, giving to hospitality. This has to do with believers helping others in the fellowship with their physical needs, sharing to the necessity of the saints. As what we have, the others who are in need, we share and give it to hospitality. And in the early church, this has to do mostly, not mostly, it has to do with that, and also generally. Many preachers were traveling up and down to preach, they were moving from city to city, and the churches were helping them. providing for their need. Remember, Apostle John will speak of the Ethiopian who didn't receive the bread that was sent, they rather kept against them. Apostle Paul will speak of churches that received the banners and all that. And these were all parts of the work of the ministry. I always say that in our part of the world, mostly our Baptist churches are not thriving because the churches are not merciful. They are not merciful. Most of the churches are not merciful. Why? They are happy to have all the help for themselves, but they are not willing to help other churches of life faith. You see, and that is the one of the means that is hurting our churches. And for the reform work, the same way, if it is not done, by and by, it will be affected. Look at how those churches in the US and the Europe, and they help. They are willing. Sometimes, if you know some of the churches, the membership, some of them are just poor. Some of us in Africa, we are even better than them. But they will just gather support. They want the gospel to go forth. And you know, some people will just take it and just keep it. And then even the help that some of the local churches will give to others, they don't do. You see? No. Distributing to the necessity of saints, giving to hospitality. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 16. But to do good and communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is wrong. You see? It's a work of a sacrifice. God is pleased with the act of mercy by His church. You see? Do good to communicate. This is about the physical needs of others. We can be a local church or even thinking of other brothers, Christians elsewhere. I'm sure we have read about churches sending relief into those are Haiti, other war-torn countries. Yes, this is what the duty of Christians, you see. This has happened. What can we do to help? You see, then we think of what to do. And also I read to you Hebrews chapter 13, 1 to 3. Hebrews 13, 1 to 3. Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels on our ways. Remember them that are in bonds and bound as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity, as being yourself also in the body. You see? So even though that we are not able to, we don't have the means, how we pray for them, how we have them in our heart, as if we are suffering like them, you see. It's something we are told to. And James also speak about this to us. James chapter 2. James chapter 2, verse 14 to 15. What does it profit, my brethren? Do a man say he has faith and has not worth, can faith save him? If a brother or a sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be warm and filled, notwithstanding, ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what does it profit? You see? Even so, faith, if it has not worked, then tell them, be alone. You see? This is about people's physical needs. I have the means to help. I'm a Christian. I should not close my eyes. You know, when the Lord helps us to have more than we need, He wants us to help. Doesn't mean that we should not save for ourselves when we have specific needs. But no, if I'm a Christian, all that I have, I have to also share with those. Physically share with those who are in that. James connects this works of faith. Because if I say I have faith in God, if the Lord has saved me, and I trusted Him, my heart should be so moved at the suffering of others. What He saw me, ruining my sin, He had pity on me, He saved me. Free grace in Christ. I didn't do anything to Him. How much those who are also suffering and I know. Now, about the spiritual matters also, in Galatians chapter 6, verse 2, we are told, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. And I think this one is in connection with people who have done wrong. Let me turn to Galatians chapter 6. How we should bear with them, how we should treat them. So I read from verse Galatians chapter 6, verse 1 to 2. Brethren, if any man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in spirit of meekness, consider thyself, let thou also be tempted. Then he had, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of God. So you see, for the spiritual need of others, we have to show, we have to deal with meekness and show that compassion, that feeling that we ourselves will be in the same position, because we are all weak, we are not better. If others are falling into sin or being troubled about spiritual things, we may also have been the same way, and how we have that compassion to help them. So to bear with them. To bear with them. So not only to help them physically, we in the fellowship of the church, we bear with others. They are struggling about spiritual things. And 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, also we have verse 14 to 15. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men, fear that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. This is the kind of merciful character which we are recommended here. You see, so that we render not evil for any man, to any man, and that we follow that which is good, both among us and the support. We support the weak, we are patient towards men, you see, both their physical and their spiritual. We are patient towards them. And this is how showing that we pity, we sympathize with them, and that we wish and we whatever we can do to help to relieve them. Ephesians, my last version of that, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31 to 32. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. So you see, the exhortation is hung or is hung on the fact that we have been forgiven. So that we should also do all the office of what? Kindness, mercy to others. Tender hearted, forgiving one another. But if these things are, we would never be hard against it, and we'll never show mercy. And what is our blessing? We are told in that passage that blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And again, as I said, it's only true believers that can really realize these things. If they are not believers yet, there will be that general aspect where God deals with people with according to their character in this world. If people do good to others, yes, they may get good. For example, if I do well about things I do, I may get results then also. Yes, that's how the world runs. The Lord has put it that way. But for believers, we can really do good. Not merely thinking about temporal good of ourselves and others, but that of eternity, which we are part through Christ, and from which we have to be tender, kind-hearted, forgiving those who forgive others, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven us. So for us, our mercy, being merciful, is hung on the fact that we have received mercy, and that special mercy which will do us good for eternity. And if we think of our eternal blessings, what is it with our temporal good that we do to others? Nothing. And our suffering we to do others with. Think of all the missionaries that have traveled all over the world to preach the gospel. They thought of this. The Lord has been merciful to them. Why not to suffer to do good to others so that they also come to know the Lord? So the Lord help us as we think about these things.